It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Tonight, the Knox County Commission will meet in an effort to close up a nearly $3 million budget gap in funding for the county school system. The gap was opened last week when state basic education program funds were pared down. The Basic Education Program, or BEP, is at the center of this budget scramble, but it's a complex thing to understand. To help out, we called on Dr. Bill Fox, director of the Tennessee Center for Business and Economic Research. He says the BEP can be divided into two halves.
So the BEP is a kind of minimal level of education back about 20 years ago, and then revised under Governor Bredesen around 2008. And what it entails is sort of two halves. One half is this set of characteristics that are believed to be sort of a minimum level of inputs necessary to deliver an adequate level of education. And so it goes through and says there should be one teacher for every 25 students of certain grades and one for 20 of other grades. It tells you how many principals you should have and how many nurses. And there are actually 45 different characteristics that are built into the formula to determine what kind of inputs should be available within a particular school district. The first half of it is this determination of what minimum level of spending needs to take place. The second half of it then determines how that's going to get paid for. And it's shared between the state and the local governments. Then what happens is local governments share that local component of the BEP based on their ability to pay. And the ability to pay is calculated both using a formula from the Tennessee Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, if I can spit that out, and the Center for Business and Economic Research, which I direct. So each of us do this calculation of ability to pay. They're averaged. And you then pay according to your share of the overall state's ability to pay. So one half is determining what should be spent. The other half, how are we going to pay for it with this combination of state funding and then this local shared funding. So there's a long description of what it is.
Well, we'll break that down just a little bit and talk more about this, because what started this particular budget turmoil last week were new estimates that came out from this group that you just mentioned, the Tennessee Council on Intergovernmental Relations, or TASER. So when I called TASER, they said, well, we don't handle that. That's the Department of Education. So I called the Department of Education and said, that's TASER. So all of these organizations apparently have some hand in how these estimates are made or delivered, or maybe they're sharing the blame, I'm not sure. But tell me then, what role specifically do these institutions play in how the schools are going to be run then or funded in Knox County and other places?
Well, the department is ultimately responsible for determining the actual local revenue funding component and the way in which the overall funding system works. As I noted before, TASER and us individually calculate this ability to pay. We each separately give that information to the Department of Education, which then takes that information and calculates the relative ability to pay when we've averaged these two formulas. And what's happening within the department is they're doing, I think, three estimates during the year in terms of what revenues that a school system might get from the state and also its local share. And what's happening as you go through the spring is different kinds of information is available to the department. I assume, and I'm not sitting there with the department when they do these calculations, but I assume when they did the first calculation, they were working from the governor's initial budget. And so this is the overall expected amount of funding for K through 12 education. But as I'm sure you're aware, as revenue growth continued to be very, very sluggish, the budget was reduced. So that likely explains a big part of why there was a change in what's available to Knox County, is that at one point there had been an anticipated state-funded raise for teachers, and that money was no longer possible given the tight revenue growth. Then what's also happening is the information necessary to do this ability to pay formula is flowing in as we go through the winter and spring. And so when they were doing their first estimate, like in February, we hadn't given them yet our ability to pay numbers. So they were presumably using something like last year's number. We were able to give it to them late in March, as I remember. And so that would have been available for their second or their third estimate. So you know, the reality is, I mean, to me, blame isn't the right word here at all, because what the department is doing is it's making a good faith estimate to tell school districts, this is what it looks like you might have. And then they hone that and fine tune it as more information becomes available. Obviously, the department could just wait until it has all of the information in hand and then give that number to the school districts, you know, which would probably be what the school districts got a week or so ago, and give them no new information. That doesn't strike me as the best strategy. I think the one that the department's been following is the right one, which is you give them a good faith estimate of what it is, and as the data becomes clearer, then you fine-tune it and get to the precise number of what the school district will get and what it has to give back in terms of its share of the BEP. And what's important is that the school districts understand what they're getting. They're getting an estimate based on information of a point in time and not a hard number of this is the funding. As I understand it, Knox County actually got more money for next year than it did this year. And this quote shortfall is actually simply a comparison with an initial estimate and not with the actual amount of dollars that were ever agreed to for Knox County.
Nevertheless, Knox County Mayor Tim Burchett's budget for the county school system took into effect that estimated number you were talking about close to $3 million. And then when a revised estimate came out, it represented the loss of $2.96 million of those dollars, meaning that he's going to have to rework his budget at some point in the near future because he was using that estimate. What I'm curious about is the amount of media attention here in Knox County that comes from this, as you were saying, a perceived shortfall or a reported shortfall of $2.96 million away from the original estimates. The way you're describing it to me makes it sound like that's not tremendously unusual, that these estimates come out in stages just about every budget year and require some kind of finagling or finessing in order to make them jive with the economic data as it comes in. Is it unusual that these estimates change the numbers that are coming out of Nashville or the estimates for BEP funding?
Well, I let me emphasize, this is not something that I spend much of my time on. I do know they do three estimates every year, and the reasonable assumption is the estimates are changing, or they wouldn't bother to do three. They just do one, right? Further, every year when we're providing our ability to pay estimates, it's late March or early April. There's some data that we need, like the property tax base for every county, which isn't available to us until March. And that's just one example of why we have to wait in order to prepare it. So I'm sure there's some fine-tuning going on. What's likely true this year is that the change was a little bigger than in other years. I'm guessing that's the case given the feedback to it.
One of the factors that you've talked about in how much the state is contributing to this kind of budget pie for county school systems all across Tennessee are tax revenues, property taxes in particular, which will vary from county to county and district to district. So is there any kind of pattern to which school districts are being the most affected by these revisions and least affected by these revisions?
Probably a big factor was the reduction in available dollars as particularly corporate income tax revenues came in particularly weakly so far this year, and the state had to simply adjust accordingly to what was available. On a fiscal capacity side, within our formula, any place's fiscal capacity depends on two things: its property tax base and its sales tax base. And if you're a place where those are rising rapidly, so in other words, your ability to pay is growing faster than average, then as we do our calculations, you'll end up with higher capacity, and therefore you'll end up paying a little bigger share of the overall local component of the BEP. And for example, our calculations for Knox County did result in a slight increase in Knox County's fiscal capacity, but it was pretty small. It didn't explain the kind of change that's being talked about here. But what it's saying is particularly the property tax base in Knox County has grown very rapidly relative to the rest of the state over the last couple of years.
In January, Governor Bill Haslam created a task force that includes Education Commissioner Kevin Huffman and about a dozen other people that's supposed to reevaluate how state funding is distributed to schools. They're calling it the first revision since the Bredesen administration, which you alluded to earlier in this interview. So yes. Tell me a little about this panel and how its conclusions might affect BEP funding or state funding. I know they haven't come up with conclusions yet, but what the goal here might be for this panel in changing that formula or what their goal is.
Our ability to pay index and the TASER index were the main topic of conversation at the last one of these meetings, and it's a group of very serious people taking a very careful look at the BEP. I'm hopeful that they'll have some very good ideas. But I think to anticipate significant changes is not likely to be met. My expectation is that tax revenue growth in Tennessee will continue to be slow. And so the state's ability to put a lot of new state dollars into K-12 will be very difficult, and it'll be hard for them to achieve. And so changing the formula in that context is politically pretty tricky, and that's actually been the situation that's happened with the reform that started under Governor Bredesen. When he began the reform of the BEP 2.0, the tax revenues were growing very well, and so they actually phased in one half of Governor Bredesen's plan. Then the recession hit, and they couldn't afford to finance in the second half. And so we now sit in between these two formulas, and that's what's going to make it so difficult to change the formula. The lack of additional funding with slow revenue growth combined with a formula that basically doesn't have anybody else to charge but this same, the 136 school systems in Tennessee.
Bill Fox is the director of the Tennessee Center for Business and Economic Research here in Knoxville. Dr. Fox, thanks as always for being with us today.
Brandon, thank you for having me.